Yeah, Lord, our eyes are fixed on you, and we want to come to you. I pray that you'd minister to us this morning what you want to minister, and thank you for how you've been ministering already. In your name, amen. I just want to take us back. I know it's a little bit of a shift, but I want to take us back to what Lil shared about the bird. So thank you for sharing that, because yeah, Lord was ministering there with that. I know you've shared that before. It happens every year. Yeah, and but the bird stuck in the net, and I just, maybe it's because of some of the things that Carlene and I have been talking about at home, and just as we've been praying for different people here in the church, and just. And please know that, like, you are on our hearts throughout the week and praying for you in the different things that we know about, sometimes in things that we don't know about. Lord, the person's just on my heart, and so I'm just going to pray. But often it's praying through things that we know you're going through and just stuff that we see. Yeah. As Lil shared the story, I just started writing some things down because talking about the bird stuck in the net, and then automatically just this place of we are so often stuck. We were talking about that this week, and we so often get stuck. And the netting, when you said there, the netting is so strong. And sometimes that netting around us is so strong. And I want you to know that one of the things that I'm praying through, I was maybe going to preach on this today, but I don't think I'm going to preach on something else. But those who come out Tuesday night, just a little thing. We're hitting 1 Peter chapter 5, and I was going to talk about maybe the first few verses there, because as I've been preparing for Tuesday night, 1 Peter 5 has just been hitting me right between the eyes, because it speaks to the elders and the shepherds of the church, and I was sharing with Larry yesterday. I'll just give a brief little thing there. The word there in verse 2 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter, in the English, in the NIV, it says sometimes, be good shepherds of your people, or be good shepherds of the people, or be good shepherds of the flock. And actually, though, the word there is a verb, and it's actually shepherd God's flock. Like, very, very pointed. And it says administrate. And not administration as in make sure the bulletins are taken care of and the hydro is paid and all of that and the bills are paid, but actually administer God's grace and be, not just be ministers of God's grace, but minister God's grace. As I looked into some of those words and just kind of dived into it a little bit, this place of exercise oversight. And it just hit me. It just hit me hard what that means, and what God was saying to us through us as elders, us as leaders, what it's saying to us, and couple that together with the word this morning about the birds stuck. My prayer is, Lord, show me how to administer your grace. Show me how to shepherd. Show me how to shepherd the way you shepherd. As I looked up at that word in the Greek and just what it means, because for us, like, we're not shepherds, so it doesn't really relate, like, to our culture, and we don't get it sometimes. And it does talking about feeding and furnish or give pasture and nourish and cherish and supply what's required. But then there was this word that just stood out to me, and it was tend. Tend God's flock. Tend them. And I guess maybe I'm speaking to the leaders right now, especially, but all of us have people that we're called to tend to. And it's not just giving those basic requirements and food, but like see to it. And I look at, again, this picture of this bird stuck in the net. And what if we were shepherding birds, right? Although one picture comes to me, I don't know if you've seen the YouTube video of this shepherd. I don't know where it was. Maybe it was in Iceland, because I know there's a lot of sheep in Iceland. But maybe it was in New Zealand or something. And this sheep, well, you didn't know it at first. There was just a man on his knees reaching into the ground. You like, how is he doing that? And you realize there's a hole there. But that the grass had grown over the hole and everything, but he's reaching deep into the ground. You're like, I wonder what he's reaching for. And all of a sudden, oh, got it. And he starts pulling, and you see the back legs and then the body and then the head of the sheep that had fallen into this hole. And I don't know how deep the hole was, but there's no way the sheep could have gotten out by itself. And the shepherd came and pulled the sheep out of the hole. And with this picture of the net, like that bird, there's a lot of birds, I'm sure, that do not get out of the net. And I don't know if we could, you've done ice wine grapes before and all that. I'm sure that when it comes time to harvest, you find a few dead birds every once in a while, make sure it doesn't get into the ice wine, you know, and that. But some birds don't make it out. And they need to be helped. And so I guess I bring this up partly because of the word given to us this morning by Lil, the testimony there. And I would ask for prayer for us as leaders. I was saying to Larry yesterday as we were talking about this a little bit, I've been a good doctor. I've sometimes used the metaphor of doctor. And this place of, hey, you can call me 24/7. Here's my cell phone number. Here's my home number. If you need anything, I'm there for you. You know, come into the office anytime. The door is always open. If you need medicine, we'll give you medicine. If you need this, you know, all these kinds of things. Like the metaphor of doctor. I'm there. I'm ready. But as I've been pondering on these verses and meditating on them, it's like I haven't always, though, been the shepherd. And there are metaphors for doctor, but shepherding and tending, and I'm just working through what that means and how that works itself out. And so just be praying for us, what that looks like for us as leaders. But one other thing before I get, because it does fit in, I think, with what the Lord had wants to share through this morning. As we were worshiping and just thinking quickly on the netting is so strong. And I just have it here written, and we have to admit it, that sometimes when we get stuck, many times we get stuck in the trap that we have made ourselves. Now, that's not the case in the bird thing. The birds got stuck in a trap that they didn't set, and mind you, maybe their hunger and their it took them to that place of getting stuck and where they shouldn't be. But I don't think birds can cognitively think, hey, maybe I shouldn't go here right now, you know, and all that. But we often get stuck in netting that we have set up, and we get stuck in a trap that we have set up. Proverbs 26:27 says, if a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. And sometimes we dig pits, we dig the hole, and then we fall into it. Oh, God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to not dig pits, not set up traps, not set up things that will trap us, not live our lives in such a way that eventually will become a trap to us. You know, may you give us the wisdom to see that. Give us the wisdom to see what isn't helpful. And I guess then back to 1 Peter, I guess one thing that I mentioned this a few weeks ago too, so maybe God's been trying to get my attention on this for a while now. And I know Josh talked about it a little bit But this place of, oh Lord, then help me to know in the place that you've called me, and help us to know for each other, because we're not just sheep. Like, we can actually help each other. I know that in the metaphor, a sheep comes along and the other sheep is in a hole, and you're not going to see sheep, hey, grab my legs as I reach down here and we'll pull the thing out. You know, it's not going to happen that way. But we're called to be responsible for each other. We're in some ways called to shepherd each other, but I don't want to take that too far, because the Lord has set up shepherds for specific reasons, but we can help each other as well. But pray for us to know, not to know, because I think we do know already. Larry and I were talking about it, and Carlene and I talking about it, and I think Josh, by what he shared a few weeks ago, he already knows it too, and just knowing where the Lord has been growing him. We know what we're called to do, we're just not used to doing it necessarily. I was meditating on this a little bit, and I know that I've shared right from the beginning that I will pastor like I parent, and I shared a few weeks ago that I've lied. I haven't. Because I'm in my kids' lives a lot, and especially when they were growing up. Now that they're entering adulthood and all that, I'm learning what to say, what not to say, trying to back away when, you know, because they're adults and they're men of God and they love Jesus and Holy Spirit lives in them and they are following the Lord well, and so knowing when. But I would be in my boy's face a lot growing up. I would be right there in their face. That has to stop. Or, hey, you need to go this way. Or, hey, and I get a little bit frightened with that, trying to do that in other people's lives, because I was just mentioning to someone else this past week, I don't want to be the Holy Spirit in anyone's life. And yet there is a place for shepherding and tending. And I'm not sure what, I kind of am sure what to do with it, but it fills me with fear and trepidation. So just be praying for us. Okay, so along those lines, actually, it's interesting to see how things connect, because I didn't see how they connected until this morning, kind of like, oh yeah, they do connect. It's neat. I've been thinking about the epistles lately, and Paul's letters to the different churches. And sometimes we think about the epistles, or all of Scripture, right, in a way of, this is a theological book, and we need to study it, and we need to dissect it. And yet we forget sometimes that, for instance, with Paul and Peter and John, when they were writing their letters, they were writing to specific churches going through specific things. And the Lord kind of did a flip in my head recently. This is where I would say, continue to dig into Scripture. Dig into Scripture, dig into Scripture. Because every time you read through it, every time you read through the Gospels, every time you read through the Epistles, the Old Testament, God will show you new things that you've never seen before. I'm going through the Bible again, going through the Word again. I don't know how many times I've been through it. Like, I don't know. 2 dozen times? I don't know. Like, in my life, like, where, like, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. I'm somewhere in that range. And then how many times I've read the Gospels or the Epistles, like, many more times, because, you know, I concentrate in the New Testament more. But every single time, it seems like, how did I not see that? Oh my goodness. Am I dense? You know? And well, this time, and I'm sure my Bible college teachers taught me this, and yet I just forgot, or maybe I didn't pay attention or something like that. There are many possibilities. But just as I was reading through the epistles, or just as I'm thinking about them again, all of a sudden it hit me, like, these are not theological books, quote unquote. These are sermons to specific churches. Sermons in letter form, because Paul couldn't be there, or John couldn't be there, or Peter couldn't be there at that moment. But they're basically sermons to a specific church going through specific things. And he's touching on those very specific things that were relevant in their lives, and might not have been relevant in someone else's life. But, like, you're going through this right now, you need to hear this, and I'm going to speak to it and try and give course correction. I'm going to tend the flock, if you will, and get you thinking right. And so I just went even through a few of the epistles here. And so just to summarize, if you want a little summary of a few of them, like maybe I went up to Thessalonians and that. But so in Romans, right, he's talking to the church and in Rome, and he is speaking to exactly what they're going through at that point. And a main theme, the main theme of Romans that he's trying to get across is you're not saved by the law, and God can save any way he wants to. And he chooses, by the way, in the Old Testament too, he chooses to save by grace through faith. It's always through belief, and it's never been by the law. No one has ever been saved by keeping the law. And for us, we read Romans, and we're like, well, I don't really get that because I don't struggle with the law. I'm not trying to keep the Mosaic law. I'm not worried about eating lobster and that kind of thing. I'm fine. It doesn't relate to me. And yet there's a lot of tidbits in Romans that does relate to us whenever we think we can try and earn God's favor, right? We can take that. But Paul is talking to the church in Rome, okay? Corinthians, oh my goodness, I have so many things that he had to talk to the Corinthians about because he was talking to a very immature church. And they needed, like he needed to nitpick them. Like he really, I need to talk to you about this and this and this and this. Not just general themes and now apply it to your life, but he had to get down and dirty because, you know, Forrest, you say it so often, or am I just thick, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, it's this, not saying that you're the Corinthian church, by the way, but, you know, it's this place of, okay, you guys are so thick that I have to detail every single thing out, because if I don't mention things specifically, you're going to, well, he didn't mention that, so I'm okay. You know, they weren't at a place in their life where they could take principles and then apply it to various parts of their life. So he talks to them about divisions in the church, taking people to court. He talks about things like how to deal with sin in the church, that we are supposed to actually judge each other. You know, we don't judge the outside world, but we judge the inside world. He's talking to them about lawsuits. It's like, really, do I have to mention this? Do I have to mention not taking each other to court and suing each other? Really? Oh, come on, right? He talks to them about marriage. He talks to them about food sacrificed to idols. Like, really, do I have to mention that you shouldn't go participate in the celebration to that demon over there? You know, that you shouldn't, as the temple to Artemis is having their yearly grand celebration to this fertility goddess, do I need to actually tell you to not go and dress like they do and be like they are and participate in their celebration of their demon god? Really? Okay, I guess I have to. And so he does. Talks about the Lord's Supper. Like, really, do I have to mention not to come to church drunk? Like, do I really have to say, I guess I do. I guess I do have to say, you know, when you get to church and you see the communion table set up and the big bottle of wine there, because they had communion with wine and wafers and that, do I really have to mention don't just down the whole bottle before anyone else has had the communion? I guess I do. Okay, so I'm going to mention it. Like, don't do that. You have your own refrigerator at home. If you're hungry, eat there. Coming here for gluttony, it's ridiculous. He's dealing with a very immature church. Then he gets into the gifts and tries to explain those because they were all enamored with tongues and they were neglecting other things in the church. He talks to them about orders in the service. Do I really need to mention not shouting each other down, not interrupting each other? Do I really, like, okay, I guess I do have to mention these things. Dealing with a very immature church. And finally, he deals with the resurrection and encouraging them with Jesus' coming again. For the Galatian church, he has to mention, because I guess this Galatian church, we piece things together. He had come there and ministered to them, and yet they were saved by grace through faith. They received it as a gift, and yet they were starting to turn on Paul. Galatians is the church. I should check just to make sure. I'm going to check just to make sure, but I think Galatians is the church where he said that, I know that when I came to you, if you could have given me your eyes, you would have. Like, there was this very close relationship. There was love between Paul and the other church, the church in Galatia. I think it's that church. I can't find it quickly here. Anyways, but he talks to them. The problem they were going through is they wanted to go back to law all of a sudden. They all of a sudden wanted to revert. I was just talking to someone who mentioned someone in their life that was in a Pentecostal church, knew that the Lord ministered through the gifts, knew that the Spirit spoke, all these things, believed these things, but then went to a church that doesn't believe any of that. And now they're part of that congregation. It's like, really? Like, you've heard God speak. You know he works through prophecy. You know he works through these different miraculous ways. You know tongues as you get. And now you're reverting back to a place of, no, God doesn't work in those ways. That's kind of what was happening in the Galatia church, but with regards to the law. And Paul is pulling out his hair and saying, like, if other people are preaching a gospel to you other than the one I preach to you, may be eternally condemned. Because that is no gospel at all. And if you're going back to the law, Christ is useless to you. So he's ministering specifically to them, right, with what they're going through. In Ephesians, he's talking to the church there in Ephesus, emphasizing one body. So we know that in the church of Ephesus, there is both Jew and Gentile, because he mentions how the two become one. And one body, and there's a real great theme, the mystery of God in bringing the Gentiles into the church, and that the Gentiles are also a part of his church. So you could just see the factions going on. We're better than you. I'm not even sure you're a part of the body of Christ or allowed to be a part of the body of Christ because you're a Gentile. And Paul brings correction there. He emphasizes unity. He emphasizes holy living. Okay, and you see that theme come up in a number of his epistles, a number of his sermons. Almost reached it. You know, you see it come up in a number of sermons or epistles. He talks about submission, and then finally, spiritual warfare, which is really interesting, right? Because, yeah, they're in this place where Artemis is like highly lifted up. Ephesus is the main center. It's the Mecca, if you will, of the ancient world for the worship of Artemis or Diana, the fertility goddess. That's where the center was. Other people in different towns were also caught in that idol worship of Artemis, and yet Ephesus was the center. And you see then the letter to the church of Ephesus also has this emphasis on spiritual warfare. Right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but the rulers, the powers, the authorities. And so he's ministering right to where they are. In Colossians, there's themes of lifting up Christ. Interestingly, there's a theme of the deity of Christ in Colossians. So maybe I can take from that, this church was struggling with the fact that Jesus is God. And so maybe they were downplaying that. Maybe they were rejecting it. And yet, he emphasizes he created all things, and he is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. Again, holy living, and don't listen to the empty philosophies of the world. Other people are trying to convince you of their ways, but don't listen to that. Then you get into Thessalonians, and they were going through struggles and trials, and he's trying to encourage them, stand strong. I know you're going through trials and tough times, but stand strong, keep going. And then the emphasis of Jesus coming again. Well, why? Why is he talking about Jesus coming again in both first and second Thessalonians? I think it's because of the trials they were going through. Like, hey, hang in there, do well. It's not going to end this way. Like, Jesus is coming again. That's how it's going to end. And remember that. And he hasn't come yet. Like, don't believe the lie that's out there that he's already come, because there was people coming in and lying to them. Anyways, you go through the different epistles and you see that they're very specific sermons to where they're at. If you will, if you look at it, you can see the traps that they were caught in, the different churches. Birds caught in different traps, and so I need to talk to this, and I need to talk to that, and sometimes I need to give specific instruction. I need to give commands. I need to be bold and just come out and say it. I would love to I would love to dance around it a little bit and just give you general principles and allow you to discover it for yourself, he's saying. But sometimes it's like, okay, I just got to, like, just, you know, that person right there, the guy who's sleeping with his mom, yeah, kick him out. Get him out of the church. Okay, excommunicate. I shouldn't have to say that, but okay, I have to say it. Yeah, that's not allowed. Okay, you should be embarrassed. Okay? And then they do that, and then the 2 Corinthians, he comes back and says, okay, he's repented. Now bring him back in. Like, we don't kick people out just to, nope, once out, always out, you know, forget it. No, it was to bring repentance, and now bring him back in. Like, oh, okay, well, you told us to kick him out. Okay. You could see how they were developing. And it's this place of sermons to specific congregations and specific things where they were caught. They were caught in nets. Well, what does that mean for us then? Because we don't have an epistle to Emmanuel Grace. We don't have an epistle to the Church of Canada or Church of Niagara. There's one part in Corinthians that made it plain to me. It's 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, at that time in history, the New Testament hadn't been formulated. The letters were circulating, and we know that they partly, well, not partly, you know by what's written in the book of Peter that the church was already looking at Paul's letters as if they were scripture, because the way he words it talks about people misunderstand Paul's writing as they do the other scriptures. And so it's like, oh, you already counted it as scripture. But the main scripture that they had and everyone agreed on was the Old Testament. And yet, in 1 Corinthians 10, when talking about Israel's history and warnings from Israel's history, Paul very clearly says, these things happened to them, meaning the Israelites, as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So what Paul is saying there is we can read the Old Testament and what happened to Israel. And yes, it was for them. When God talked to the Israelites, it was for the Israelites of that time. That's very true. You know, God talked to them wandering in the wilderness. That was for them. I just finished going through Jeremiah. It's like God speaking through Jeremiah, that was for that time in history. That was for King Zedekiah. That was for Zephaniah, or they all have these Z names at the end of the monarchy in Judah there. But it was for them, and it was for the people of that time, but it was also for us. Or what Paul's saying is for the people of 2,000 years ago. We can learn from them. Well, the same is true of us now. We can go into Israel's history, and there's lessons there, and it's written down for us. Yes, it was written down for them, but it's written down for us. We can look at it and say, I get that. But now we also have the epistles. Every once in a while I say to you, while I'm preaching, and this is truth, I don't use it as a catchphrase or anything, but sometimes I'm preaching something and teaching on something, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to preach to myself right now. And if it applies to you, that's great. Then you can apply it to you as well. But really, I'm just speaking to myself. Every once in a while, it really hits me hard. Like, Lord, I have no right to preach on this because I haven't worked through it yet. And God's like, no, it's okay. You preach to yourself, and you preach to others as well. And I think that's what we can do with the epistles. I think that's what we can do with all of Scripture. As we read through it, again, it's not something to be dissected, but it's this place of here's Paul giving a sermon to a specific church, to a specific people of God, and ooh, I'm going through that too. Ooh, I recognize myself there. Okay, then it's a sermon for you too. It's for you. When he speaks of how to treat each other, You're like, yeah, I struggle with that too. Well, that's a sermon for you too. You can listen in on that. You can receive that instruction when it talks about, you know, marriages. You know, we mentioned the marriage seminar coming. It's for you too. And if there's things they're going through, like I as I read through Corinthians, I don't struggle with coming to church drunk, right? I never struggle with that. Okay, I can read it, and it's history, and there it is. That's what the Corinthian church was struggling with, but I really don't have to worry about that. Okay, keep it in mind, but move on, really, to what he says in other places. What is applying to me? Am I stuck in the same places that they're stuck? And this is where, again, I can't emphasize enough for us to be in the Word. But then we need to apply the Word. We need to receive that instruction. We need to walk it out. We need to obey. The Corinthian church had to obey. I pick on them a little bit because, again, there were so many specific instructions there, specific things that he's talking to, not just general principle, but he had to put his finger on this, and then 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 this. And it's this place of, okay, I need to apply that. I need to walk that out. I need to listen to that. I want us to understand that the Bible is not so much something to be studied and dissected. I love the word study, by the way. I do study it. Because I want to know exactly what was said. I want to know what shepherding means, for instance. And so I have to dig in a little deeper to find out what shepherding means. I have to dig a little deeper to find out what it means so that I can walk it out like God intends. Because maybe the English word isn't exactly doing justice to the Greek word. And I'm not saying we're all supposed to be Greek students or anything, but praise God, we have so many helps, so many aids out there, like biblical aids, whether it's books or I mean, we can just go online. I've mentioned the website before, blueletterbible.org. It just has all you ever need to study and to get a little bit deeper. I wonder what that exactly means. I know what the English means, but I wonder what it means. And when I looked at then the word shepherding, shepherd your flock, shepherd the flock that God has given you, it's like, oh. And really, I need to ask for forgiveness. Because it's this place of, I haven't been doing that. And I don't even know fully how, and yet God says, no, you do know how. You shepherded your own children. Yeah, but Lord, whenever you say, yeah, but Lord, you're in trouble. But I did it, you know. Yeah, but Lord, they were my own kids. They couldn't go anywhere. And they had no choice in it. And when you're with each other, like, not 24-7, but basically 24-7 and all that, you know, there's a lot of grace given, and there's a lot of understanding that goes on, and there's opportunity for, there's, again, yeah, they couldn't go anywhere. Praise God, I learned a lot through parenting and through shepherding my own family. But it's like the Lord is saying to me, so again, I'm looking at the epistle of 1 Peter, which was written to a specific church, and he's encouraging, specifically in chapter 5, the elders and the overseers of that church. And I wonder if the reason he had to emphasize that was because they were struggling with the same thing. Maybe they were struggling with shepherding the flock. Maybe they were struggling with the way they saw Paul shepherding, because that's what Paul is doing. In all the epistles, he's shepherding the flock. He's shepherding the flock. He's shepherding the flock. That's what shepherding the flock looks like. That's what tending the flock looks like. You look at it, that's what it looks like right there. And when not a lot needs to be done, than backing off. Like I said, with my own guys, you know, they're at an age where I don't have to get nitpicky. It's like they're following Jesus. They're learning and they're growing and oh, I could put my finger on that, but nah, they'll figure it out. The Holy Spirit in them will put his finger on it, so I don't need to say anything. Okay? And there are many times you can see that happening in Scripture, but then at other times, Paul had to tend the flock in a very specific way. And so just so you know, like one of the things that I'm praying through and I will be praying through is this place of, okay, Lord, I see an example of what it means to shepherd the sheep. Not saying that I'm Paul. But like Christ is our primary example, of course, right? He is the chief shepherd. I'm just going to ask if you could just calm them down a little, like just, because, see, I'm going to do stuff like that more. Ah, no. But you have examples of stepping in and putting your fingers on stuff. And Peter was speaking to a specific group of shepherds that are never mentioned. And yet maybe they were not walking it out quite like they're supposed to. And so even though that letter, 1 Peter, isn't to me, it is to me. Right? It's like, oh, I can relate to that. And I go back to 1 Corinthians and it says, yeah, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, Kevin, this was written down as an example for you. This was written down as a warning for you. Yeah. Okay. So I want to apply it. I want to look at that and then apply it because it's as if the Holy Spirit, through Peter, is speaking to me. Dear Kevin, shepherd God's flock. So instead of just this general teaching, see, sometimes when we think of the Scriptures as just a teaching thing, like academic, well, we kind of get things messed up because how many of us, when we went to school, or some of you still in school, right? How many of us went to school, we learned it, closed the book, immediately forgot it? It's just like, yep, glad that's over with. I can move on. I got an A, woohoo, and I don't know anything about it, you know? And we just move on. That's not the way it is with Scripture, right? This is a personal letter. These are personal letters. And a shepherd speaking to the sheep, a leader speaking to other leaders. Peter says, like, as an overseer, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. And yet he was like, yes, he was a fellow elder, but he was a chief elder as well, if you will. Like, he's one of the 12 and one of the three. So, dear Kevin, I know you're struggling with this right now, and you're not walking, you're doing well, I want to encourage you, but you could be doing better. And you need to carry this out. I look at the different themes. Again, one of the favorites that I love talking about is marriage. Right? I think I hit on marriage probably, okay, we've been together over 7 years now. I think probably on average I hit marriage at least once or twice a month because it's so important. Family, the family structure, the foundation of marriage, not just telling a story, but in our lives. And so when you read it, it's like, it's not, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, that's
that's interesting. I wonder what the Greek says. And, oh, yeah. Oh, very cool. Oh, I'll do a little cross-referencing here. Oh, that was half an hour. Good. Okay, I can put the book down and move on. Woohoo! You know, I think I'm going to get an A. And no. No, dear Kevin, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Like, seriously, Kevin, you got to get serious about that. Oh, yeah, thank you. I see that theme throughout Scripture, and I can do the cross-referencing. Do you need a pie chart? I can give it to you. You know, do you need a flow chart? Yeah, I can do that for you. No, Kevin, like, seriously, stop fooling around. Start loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for her. Like, seriously. Oh, yeah, I get that theology. You don't have to talk to me about it anymore. I've heard many sermons on it. I have a tape series. I have a few books on the shelf. I get it. Why are you messing? Why are you messing with me, Kevin? Stop it. Love your wife. Start loving your wife. It's like, yeah, Lord. Yeah, I want to start loving my wife as Christ loved the church even more. I see that there. That was written down for me. Now, I know that there are, I've heard sermons and theologians talk about, no, you can't approach the Bible that way. And I do understand that it's written to other people. And so, and 1 Corinthians 10 does not dispute that. It does not dispute the history of what went on with the Israelites. It doesn't dismiss the fact that God was talking to them back there 4,000 years ago. It doesn't dispute that. So it's not a conflict. Yes, it was written down for them, and not but and it was written down for you. Yes, I was speaking to them, and I'm speaking to you directly right now. Speaking directly to you. And so as I read through these things, as I read through the Scriptures, there is this place of, let's read the Scriptures in this place of, dear Emmanuel Grace. Dear Emmanuel Grace, I want to talk to you about a few things. I want to speak to you about a few things. And this isn't just a lecture to be listened to. You know, sometimes I think about seminars and conferences, and at times I think the church is over-conferenced, and yet we just endorse one. And yet, I think sometimes it's like conference after conference after conference, study after study after study, seminar after seminar, sermon after sermon. As if we think that just by sitting there and listening, something will happen. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just all of a sudden we hear it and we just are like that. No, it's this place of, okay, now do it. Do it. Just do it. I was talking to someone recently. This person, I hadn't seen him for a while. Hadn't seen him for a number of months, maybe even years, maybe even a year or two. And he talked to me about some victories that he had had in his life. And it's like, yeah, that's good. And then he said, but then I gave back into some of the traps and the snares. He didn't use those words, but carrying on with what Lord has shared with us this morning. I said, oh, then I encourage him, but you know the way. Yeah, I do. I know what I need to do. Good. But it's so hard. Yes, it is. But there's no other choice. You got to do it. You got to do it. I was trying to encourage him. Like, you don't need a further instruction. You don't need the breakdown of the Greek.
We don't need to dissect the scriptures and parse it all out, you know, parse the verb. Oh, is it that? Is that in the passive tense or in the aorist tense, you know? And is that all this and that and all that other kind of stuff that you learned in Bible college? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is you know what you're called to do. You know what you need to do. Now do it. Walk it out. Dear church, you know? And so I would encourage you, get in the Word and look at the Word as, yeah, a letter to us, a letter to you. And again, pray for leadership. Because I know that part of my calling, okay, so in 1 Peter there, it talks about how Jesus, the chief shepherd, so I'm going to have to give account to him, actually. He's like, how did you tend my sheep? Because I am called to tend his sheep like he would tend his sheep. I'm not called to tend his sheep the way the world wants me to tend his sheep, or even the way the church wants me to tend his sheep. I'm not even allowed to tend the sheep like you want me to tend you. That's one thing that's really hitting me. But Lord, they might not like that. Because I don't care. I want you to shepherd your sheep. I want you to shepherd my sheep like I shepherd them. Okay, Lord. And again, I am that guy that I encouraged, if you will. Now I'm on the flip side. Oh, but Lord, it's hard. Yeah, it is. Now just do it. Okay. The Lord is speaking to us every time. Well, every day, every moment through the Holy Spirit. But every time we open up the Word, He's speaking to us. Are there any questions or comments on this? I see someone with a comment.
This morning I was reading in Corinthians, and it was just in the, like, when he's talking about tongues and making sure there's an interpreter.
Right.
But then something really stuck out to me. That didn't really, like, it obviously applies to what he's talking about, but also what you're talking about right now. Just at the end of verse 7 in that chapter, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes?
Right.
Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And so it's just kind of like this, you need this clear-cut, distinct. So, like, in your case, like, it's good that there's this, I guess, arrow or this is what God's saying to us and do it, that kind of thing. Otherwise, if it's general and all-encompassing, then it's like, oh, well, it could apply to me, it could not.
Yeah.
Or like, but otherwise, it just gets that, like, oh, we're being called to take action on this.
Yep. So. And see, it's such a hard one. Again, I'm rallying, I'm pleading for prayer here, okay? So just so you know. Because, like, I don't want to micromanage, and I don't want to, there's so many abuses out there, right? If Mel was here, I think some of us know her story a little bit. I think she shared it a few times where like, she was under some leadership at one point that was trying to tell her where to live, like her and Graham, and this is the job you need to take, and this is what you, like, run. Like, just, if I ever start doing that, seriously, run. And you have permission to kick me on the way out the door, if you will. Like, just run as fast as you can. But it's this place of, though, see, when you say, even, if I have a word for us, okay, that's great. But I'm even talking about if I have something for you.
Yeah, and I just, if I could just say, like, know, like, you are that. I'm yelling.
it's for the tape, though. It's for the
I have nothing else to say.
And
but yeah, like, just
and
we're so on board with that, I think.
Yeah. And the thing that God is saying to me is, even if someone isn't, you know, but I don't want this to turn into that, like, because it's, but it's for all of us. Like, when the Lord is saying something, do it. That's the theme I want us to catch on to, because I don't want to have to convince you that I'm going to do it this way. I never sat down with my kids and tried to convince them, okay, this is the way I'm going to parent you, you know, and I need your approval. No, this is just the way it is, and that's that, you know, and I hope you trust me in it, but even if you don't, it's just the way it's going to be. And it's, but the theme I want us to understand in this is, like, I'm looking at 1 Peter, and I'm seeing God directly speak to me. Kevin, this was written down for you. When I had Peter write this down almost 2,000 years ago, he didn't know about you, but I knew about you, and I had you in mind. Now, do it. Don't study it. Don't brag about how many times you've read Peter, because it doesn't matter how many times you've read Peter. It matters how we follow what God is saying through Peter. That's what matters.
Yeah. Well, just, yeah, since our talk yesterday, I've been meditating on it or pondering it, like, what does that look like? And I never grew up in a shepherd's area, so
yeah.
Maybe a trip to Iceland or Israel.
Hey.
Or something. Yeah, I think as elders, I think we should make a trip, an exploratory trip to learn what that looks like. So I've been working through with God, like, what, how does that flesh out?
Yeah.
Like, how do we live that out? Just a couple other points I want to quickly make. A lot of stuff in Scripture, we can say, like, getting drunk before communion. Okay, I don't
relate.
That doesn't. But there's still, like, the study and the maturity and the digging into this, what the Spirit of God is saying is, okay, what is the principle behind
absolutely.
That? Is it holiness? Is it humbleness? I mean, we can all, there is no scripture that is not relevant to
right.
what we're going through. Whether in a do not envy, you know, do not, you know, a very specific thing, or a principle behind something that is part of that. And, I mean, the best example I can think of is Jesus saying, okay, do not murder, but I say to you, if you hate somebody,
yep.
you've murdered them. So there's that principle that comes behind it.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing too is, I'm not gonna tell somebody what job they should have.
Right.
But I can encourage somebody. Okay, what are the pitfalls or the principles behind you taking that job? Is it
mm-hmm.
like, what does Scripture say about, you know? Okay, I'm busy 24 hours a day. Well, okay, then you're missing something out in your family life, or you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's, I'm not going to tell you don't be a taxi driver, but I'm going to say, okay, here are some of the things. Here are some of the cautions I have, according to Scripture, because it's going to take you away
yeah.
from other things that God is calling you to, type of thing. So
yeah,
so there is those yeah, how do we interact that with each other?
Right.
As individuals or as leaders.
Right.
You know, how do we walk that out?
Yeah. And I'll let you go first and then I'll say
yeah. something. Like you, I don't think you read this verse, but 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And in verse 3 it says, not domineering over those in your charge.
Absolutely.
And, but just being an example to the flock. And so, yeah, in this case, like, yeah, we need to walk it out, but also believing and hoping and trusting that we will be humble and
right.
And submit to one another
yeah.
and, yeah, just follow biblical principle.
Totally. And there's, like, to one shepherd, the Lord might say, you need to get more in there. And to the other shepherd, he might say, you need to back off a little bit. To one doctor, he might say, you know what, you might want to work on your bedside manner. You're a little bit abrupt. And to another doctor, he might say, you know what, you're a little bit too lovey-dovey and you're in the room too long. Just make it, you know, don't couch it, just say it straight, but love it, you know. And so to each person, it'll be different. One thing that I wrote down here then that's hitting me, even as you were talking, as I was also sharing, the phrase is in your face. To understand that as we read Scripture and as the Lord speaks to us through Scripture or through others, through friends, through other, or through shepherds, you know, He is in our face. And again, it's not just theory. It's like, no, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I get the theory. No, I'm like in your face. You need to work on this. Or you need to listen right now. And God is in our face, but for our good. All of it is for our good and for the glory of God. All the epistles, it's for the glory of God and its course correction and all of that, so that the church could become everything she was meant to be, so that every marriage could be what it's meant to be, so that every relationship could be what it's meant to be, so that the church could be a shining beacon, right, for the Lord. It was all, but it was very much, each of these epistles was in the church's face. And even the Corinthians were like, well, Paul, you're all bold when you're writing to us, but you're meek when you come to us, because often God would humble Paul and he would have to come in, like the Spirit of God was coming in gentler than maybe what Paul was feeling at that point. But it was very much like, no, don't you get it? This is for you. This is for you. And I'd get this picture of Jesus grabbing our face, like lovingly, but like just putting his hands right here, you know, and like eye contact. Have you ever had to do that with your little ones? Look at me. Eye contact. Come on, here. Okay, good. We got eye contact now. This is what I'm saying to you. And allow God to speak that into our lives. I don't want to phrase it that way. He is speaking to us. He is speaking to us. And he's like, are you getting it? Are you getting it? Over and over again. Yep.
The last, well, always on my radar, but especially the last while, and even this morning, it was like I felt God saying, ask me for that revelation. Like, it needs to be that revelation knowledge, not just knowledge. Yeah. Like, it needs to be that revealed, like where Jesus is holding our face, and it's like, oh, you're talking to me?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Yep.
If I didn't blow it with my last comment, I just had an image about, you guys were mentioning shepherding in Iceland, and I visited this place, it's called the Westman Islands, and I don't know if you know the history of some of these islands in the North Atlantic. Most of them were settled first by monks that were looking for a place, like a quiet place to pray.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like a beautiful history of like how they were discovered, and most of them are really desolate and still very empty. And the Westman Islands, there's about 18 islands off the coast of Iceland, volcanic islands, and they're known for puffins. It's like they have a lot of puffins there. But basically, they have like sheer cliffs going up from the sea. I don't know how many meters, like 20, 30 more meters, like going up from the, too tall to like, they couldn't lean a ladder against it kind of thing, like they're very tall. And some of them just come straight up out of the sea, and then on the top, they're full of grass. And so a friend of mine from there who was hosting us when we were visiting, he's a shepherd, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, it's not involved all day long with like a
staff.
No, he, but they do. So what they do is, and he took us up onto one of these mountaintops where you, like, it's all sheer drops. There's no way you could walk up. You had to go up ladders, like,
wow,
to across these sheer drops. There's actually like a, there was a cross in a small cave that he showed us on this sheer cliffside that was carved in 700. Like, so there were people praying there in like 700. I don't know what else was going on in 700. Not much, I don't think. But so some people were praying there. But I was so scared going up these ladders. And what they would do is he showed us a video, and they would take the sheep and tie their feet and actually hoist them up on a rope, upside down, up these cliffs, and then they put them up in the pasture. And it's once I was so scared climbing up myself, right? I was literally shaking. I'm from here, and there's not mountains here. Like, and so you get up, and then you get up, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful. And there's all this like green grass, and the sheep don't have to worry about any predators up there. Like, it's just nothing can get up there except for birds, right?
Right.
And so there's all this grass, and they spend the whole summer up there just eating with other sheep. And then at the end, they bring them all down, and then they lower them down again with a rope down the ladders. And I imagine that's a bit terrifying for the sheep, but I was just thinking about what you're saying about the shepherd, and it's like, sometimes the shepherd has to like, okay, we're going down or we're going up. And then it's like the summer for the sheep must be amazing. And they do this on like, you look out over the sea and there's just island, island, island. And they come in boats and they literally like lower the sheep down into boats from these cliffs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, anyway, that's just the image if you can imagine it. Maybe there's an interpretation for that or something, but it's amazing like what shepherds do.
Wow. So good.
Thank you. A couple of things that were coming to my mind was the first one was about God being in our face, and I'd much rather have God in my face than his back.
Yeah.
So it's like, take it.
Yeah.
Because it's much worse if you don't.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just to really encourage you and to encourage the leadership here. You guys have been put here by God. And the encouragement is if you guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, we're missing out.
Yeah.
And we need it.
Yeah.
So please do it.
I know.
So
yeah.
Help us.
Yeah.
In the way that God has ordained for you to.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a good word. It's a good word. Yeah.
Yep. You've already done a good job of explaining what you're saying, but it just fits so well with what I was learning from the Jim Logan series, and he talked about the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6, and it's actually not logos, it's actually rhema, or rhema,
okay,
is the word. The word is, from the Greek, is rhema, and it means the spoken word of
yeah.
God. And so it's like, these words would just be all nothing. Like, you can find all the words in the Bible in a dictionary, but the Holy Spirit makes them living, and he speaks to us, and he speaks to us through reading it, and we go, wow, that's exactly what I needed. Or he speaks to us through someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm new more to the word of knowledge, but that can be true too, right?
Yeah.
The Spirit's saying, I've got something specific for you to say. And like, I really feel this church has so much more of that than any others I've been to. So
praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good. No trouble.
Just in reference to Josh's picture,
yeah,
like totally, it's that, yeah, when we're being spoken to and corrected, it doesn't feel that great.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah. And yet God is taking us into this beautiful pasture of just safety, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally see that.
It's beautiful.
Just one thing that kind of popped up this morning, and as I was just kind of getting ready, is just, I just want to ask forgiveness from you guys as we're talking about, yeah, looking at God in the face and feeling those convictions and walking it out. The past couple weeks, I haven't been walking in the role that God's called me here, just with prayer and stuff like that for you guys, and I just feel like God's placing it on my heart just to lay that out there and be open with it. It's just been a busy couple weeks, but that's not an excuse, and I just, want to ask forgiveness from you guys, and I just lay that out there and just, yep. So I'm sorry.
I forgive you. Yeah. All right, let's pray. So Lord, I thank you for speaking so clearly to us through your word. I thank you for having people write it down. I thank you for preserving your word through the centuries, the millennia. I thank you for the fact that you are in our face and you want to be in our face. Forgive us for sometimes treating you as something to be studied and dissected and almost like you're academic to us sometimes. It's not about academics, and I pray that we would understand that deeper and deeper when you're getting in our face and you're calling us to action. Action in our relationships, action in our decisions, action in our jobs, action in our community. I pray that you would inspect us, Lord. That you would search us, search our hearts, search our lives. And wherever you see that we need encouragement, I pray for encouragement. And I pray that we wouldn't look at encouragement as if it was an academic thing, but that we would receive it truly and correction the same way. And all these things, Lord. I pray that as we get in your word, that we would read it anew and that we would understand you're speaking directly to us. I thank you that the word is living and active. It's not dead. I thank you that you are living and active in us. And I pray for courage. I pray for boldness. We want to be the people that we are called to be. Yeah. We love you so much, and we want to love you more, and we want to love each other more. I pray these things in your precious name. We love you, Jesus. Amen.